Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news. So it's my brother, can you spare a dime? My God shall supply my need. Don't have to beg because I am a seed. Cause every good.
Well, good afternoon, good evening, good morning, wherever you are. Thank God for joining us today. This is Minister Van with his Abounding Grace podcast. We want to welcome you. This is a segment of When Christians Speak Talk Radio. Just want to welcome you to our program this evening. We are so delighted and so blessed that you decided to join us at this time, and I believe that you're going to receive what you came expecting to receive. You know, here at Christian Speak Talk Radio, we expect people's lives to be changed in such a way that you'll go out and you'll make a difference in somebody else's life by sharing the good news with them. So the title of this segment is His Abounding Grace, and it's taken from Romans, the 5th chapter and the 21st. Again, my prayer this evening is that this message will encourage you to strengthen your relationship with God. And if you do not have a personal relationship with His Son, Jesus Christ, my prayer is that this message will convict you and touch your heart in such a way that you will want to know Jesus for yourself. I'm so thankful to be a part of this wonderful network of brothers and sisters under When Christians Speak Talk Radio, where our founder, Reverend Ray Rose, has done and is continuing to do a wonderful job in the community, and just thanking God for him and for all that he's done. Tonight's message is be encouraged. Be encouraged. I want to just encourage somebody that God has not forgotten you. Our main text is going to come from the 3rd chapter of Exodus, but we're going to be having so many other scriptures we'll share with you. I want to go to God in prayer, and I want to be just open up. I want you to open and receive everything that God has for you this evening. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God. I thank you for your grace, and I thank you for your mercy, Father. I thank you, Lord God, because you are so good. You're such a good God. Lord, I thank you, Lord God, because you're so wonderful, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, because, Lord, you said when your word goes forth, it will not return unto you void. They will go out and accomplish that which you have purposed for it to accomplish. I thank you, Lord God, the hearts and ears will be open to receive all that you would have for them right now. And again, that their lives will be changed and that they'll go out and make a difference in someone else's life. I thank you, Lord God, that you'll use me as a vessel only, Lord God, to get your word through, Lord. So as I decrease, Lord God, I know you will increase, Lord God, and you will get all the honor, all the glory, and all the praise, because it all belongs to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank God. Amen. Amen. Well, if I could see you physically, I'll just say amen, everybody. You know, and we're just thanking God for that. So, again, I just want to encourage you, that remind you that God has not forgotten you. There's another scripture I want you to jot down, and you can meditate on this scripture later. I'll have so many scriptures to share with you, and I'm sure I won't get through this entire message tonight. But I want to take my time, and I want to share the scriptures with you and just allow you to lean in and just focus on what God is trying to tell you, what God is telling you through this message. Psalms 42:5 says, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of my countenance. You know, sometimes you got to encourage yourself. You got to speak to yourself. You got to shake yourself, you know. Let's go to the third chapter of Exodus. We've got a lot of reading to do, so let's just jump into it. Some of it I'll be paraphrasing, but I'll give you the scripture, the text, the scripture references so you can go back and read them. So the third chapter of Exodus in the first verse opens up with Moses. Moses, who's tending the flock of his father-in-law, Jethro. Moses has led the flock to the far side of the wilderness, and he comes to the mountain of God. And the second verse lets us know that the angel of the Lord appeared to him and flames of fire from within a bush. And I'm reading from the NIV version. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I am go over and see the strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. Well, the fourth verse lets us know when the Lord saw that Moses had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush. And God says, Moses, Moses. And Moses responded, here I am. God tells him in the fifth verse, do not come any closer. Take off your shoes, for the place where you're standing is holy ground. Then God says, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hides his face because he was afraid to look at God. And the seventh verse, and this is what I want to key in on right now, the Lord says, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. The eighth verse says, so I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a land, a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hittites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites, the cry of the Israelites has reached me, says the Lord. And I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, he said to Moses, go. I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Now, from the 11th verse to the 15th verse, Moses is debating with God. God told Moses what he wants him to do, and Moses is asking God, he's questioning God. He said, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the Israelites out? Who am I? And God's telling him, I will be with you. And God's telling him, this will be a sign to you that it is I who have sent you. And Moses still, he's still nervous, he's still fearful. He still says, but suppose I go to them and I say to the Israelites, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? And God responds to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. Moses still was nervous. He still was not satisfied that he would be the one that could go out and do it. But I want to go back to the seventh verse where the Lord says, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them cry out because of their slave drivers, and I'm concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land and to a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And in ninth verse, and now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. You know, I believe God is speaking to someone tonight. I believe he's saying, I've seen your misery. I've heard your cry, and I am concerned about your suffering. I will rescue you from the hand of the enemy. So be encouraged, because I come by to tell you tonight that God has not forgotten you. I see you. I hear you. I'm concerned about you. I will rescue you. Psalms 94 and 9 says, he that planteth the ear, shall he not hear? He that formed the eye, shall he not see? Second Chronicles, the 16th chapter, the 9th verse says, for the eyes of the Lord run to and from throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards me. God says, I see you, I hear you, I'm concerned about you, I will rescue you. So I'm here to encourage somebody tonight. Be encouraged, be comforted, be strengthened, be refreshed, for God has not forgotten you. If things all around you seem destructive, if your situation or trouble seem too much for you to bear, perhaps your body is racked with pain and suffering, perhaps your mind is so overwhelmed with the cares of this world, if it seems like all hope is gone, this message is for you. Remember, God is all-powerful. All he needs to do is speak a command, and everything, he gets everything attention. Everything has to take heed. Everything has to listen to his voice. When he speaks, something happens in the atmosphere. When he speaks, there's a quietness that comes into your spirit. When God speaks, there is peace. So he wants you to embrace his peace today. I'm talking about the God who created you in his own image. I'm talking about the God who said, let there be light, and there was light. Be encouraged and know that God is still God. He is the one who is to be exalted among the heathen. He is the one who is to be exalted in the earth. He is the mighty one who will bring peace. Who but God can bring peace to any situation? For he is the one who could bring life to any dead situation. And get this. He is the same God that I'm talking about with you this evening. It's the God of mercy, of grace, and he has not forgotten you. God knows all about you, my sister. He knows all about what you're going through. He knows when life is wearing you down. He knows your thoughts from afar off, your thoughts, even before you think of, God knows about them. He knows all of these things, and he wants you to know that he's not forgotten you. Be encouraged. And while you're being encouraged, be still and know that God is God. Stand on the promises of God, for he cannot fail. Exodus 3:14, and God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, thou shalt say unto the children of Israel, I am has sent me unto you. God has spoken, and his word is true. No matter what you see, no matter what you feel, no matter what you hear, the great I am is still on the throne. The great I am will still do what he has promised. So just be encouraged. He wants you to trust him at his word. He wants you to cling to hope. Your hope should be built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and his righteousness. Have you forgotten what God has already done for you? Have you forgotten how he already brought you out of that situation last year? How he brought you out of that situation last week? Perhaps he even brought you out of a situation yesterday, and yet you forget that the same God, the God of yesterday, the God of today, and the God of forever, is the God that said he would be with you always and that he would never leave you even to the ends of times. You see, in Exodus chapters 3 and 4, God speaks to Moses through a burning bush, and he instructs him to lead his people out of Egypt. And again, Moses tries to debate with God, telling God why he's not qualified. And God's patient with Moses. If God finally tells him, take Aaron with you, because I've got a job for you to do. Now go and do it. In Exodus, the fifth chapter, Moses takes Aaron, who God has appointed to go with him, and they go into Pharaoh, and they give Pharaoh the message from God. Let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. And the sixth chapter of Exodus through most of chapter 12, God sent plagues upon the Egyptians, plague after plague after plague, because Pharaoh refused to obey God and let his people go. So let's fast forward to the 37th verse of chapter 12 of Exodus, the 37th verse, where it's recorded that God allowed the Israelites to finally leave Egypt. And guess what? He never left them. He held to his promise. He stayed with them on the journey. Get this, talking about how much God loves his people and how he protects them, how he protects us. Most of the time, even we don't even realize we are being protected. He loves us. He cares for you. He protects you. In chapter 13, verse 21, and the Lord went before them. I want you to get this. It reads, and the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light, to go by day and night, and how he protected them because they were his chosen people. Chapter 14, verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, tell the Israelites to turn back and encamp near, and I'm not even going to profess, I know how to pronounce these words, okay? But to encamp near about in the sea. They are to encamp by the sea, directly opposite Baal. Pharaoh was saying, the Israelites are wandering around the land in confusion, hemmed in by the desert. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, this is what the Lord is saying, and he will pursue them. But I will gain glory for myself through Pharaoh and all his army, and the Egyptians will know that I am God. So the Israelites did what the Lord instructed them to do. And the fifth verse says, and when the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds about them and said, what have we done? We have let the Israelites go, and we have lost their servants. So Pharaoh, the king, had his chariot made ready and took his army with him. He said, this job is too big for me to send someone. I'm going along with them. He took 600 of the best chariots, along with all the other chariots of Egypt, with officers over all of them. You see, the Lord had hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, so that he pursued the Israelites, who were marching out boldly. The Egyptians, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots, horsemen and troops, pursued the Israelites and overtook them as they camped by the sea. But get this. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified, and they cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert. So Moses answers the people, and he tells them, don't be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance of the Lord that the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see them again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Is he saying to someone today, stand still, be still, and know that I am God, that I will fight for you. You need only to be still. Is that you, my brother, that he's talking to? In the 15th verse, the Lord says to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the Israelites to move on. Raise your staff and stretch out your hand over the sea to divide the water so that the Israelites can go through the sea on dry land. I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they would go in after them, and I will gain glory through Pharaoh and all his army, through his chariots and his horsemen. The Egyptians will know that I am the Lord when I gain glory through Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen. So the 19th verse says, the angel of God, I like this, who have been traveling in front of the Israel's army, withdrew. The angel of God, who have been traveling in front of Israel's army, withdrew and went behind them. The pillar of cloud also moved from in front of them and stood behind them, coming between the armies of Egypt and Israel. Throughout the night, the cloud brought darkness to the one side and light to the other side, so neither went near the other all night long. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea that God had instructed him. And all that night, the Lord drove the sea back with a strong east wind and turned it into dry land. The waters were divided, and the Israelites went through the sea on dry land with the wall of water on their right and on their left. When you get a chance, go back and read this entire chapter of Exodus, okay, and see how God protected his people. Even in the midst of their mumbling, grumbling, and complaining, God still protected them. Why? Because he loved them. Talk about unconditional love. Verse 20, and it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel, and there was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came out near the other all the night. You see, you have no idea how many times God has blocked the enemy from destroying you. You have no idea how many times God has confounded your enemy so that he doesn't even realize what just happened. You have no idea how many times God has done whatever he needed to do to protect you, to shield you, to guard you, to shelter you from all harm and danger. You have no idea how many times God has called your name, how many times he has placed angels around you. Yet you ask yourself, has God forgotten me? Just because you don't see your way through doesn't mean he's forgotten you. Just because you don't feel your way through does not mean he has forgotten you. Just because you don't hear your way through or you don't hear what you are expected to hear does not mean God has forgotten you. Just because the answer to your prayer doesn't manifest itself when you want it to doesn't mean he has forgotten you. Could it be that what the enemy means to be evil, God is turning it around for your good? And maybe he wants you to go through whatever you are going through so that you can come out on the other side much stronger and much wiser than before. You see, when I was studying this, as many times I've read the story of the Israelites and them facing the Red Sea, I got something else out of this when I was studying this week. There's something else I see in this chapter. Because the all-powerful God is who he is, and I want to make sure you get this, because it applies to your life as well. Because of who God is, because he's all-powerful, when they were facing the Red Sea, he could have totally removed the waters so that the Israelites didn't see it at all. He could have just, with a wipe of a hand, he could have removed the waters so that the Israelites did not see it at all. Instead of allowing them to walk through the sea on dry land with the waters piled high on each side of them, God could have removed all of the waters from their sight. When their backs were against the wall, their enemies, and they were facing the Red Sea, get this, God allowed them to walk through the waters instead of removing the waters totally from their sight. Could it be that he wanted them to see what he was doing so that they could give him glory, give him the praise why they were going through and not wait until they reached the other side? Could it be when you're facing the Red Sea and when you feel like you have no way out, could it be that God is bringing you through it and wants you to praise him now instead of waiting until you see your victory? Here they are facing the Red Sea, feeling trapped. The enemy behind them, a large body of water in front of them. What were they to do? All that was required of them was to trust God, for he told them he was going to fight their battle. And Moses said unto the people in verse 13, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians which you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight your battle, and you shall hold your peace. Get this. The Lord wants me to remind somebody tonight to put aside your fear and anxiety, to stand still and to rest in him. The Lord wants me to remind somebody tonight, fear you not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Pharaoh's army, the Egyptians, represent your enemy, your situation, your set of overwhelming circumstances. So if he stands to you, the enemy you see today, you shall see them no more. Perhaps it may be that you shouldn't see this situation as your enemy, but perhaps you should see it as your way out. Perhaps it may be that you should not look at the test as your enemy, but as your testimony waiting to be happened. Let me say that again. Perhaps it may be that you should not look at the test that you are going through as your enemy, but as your testimony waiting to be revealed. When you feel like you are facing a Red Sea, that is, when you feel like the enemy is chasing you and there's nowhere to go because there's a Red Sea in front of you, be encouraged, my sister, because God can confound the enemy. God can open up the Red Sea in your life and allow you to walk through to safety, through to safety. Could it be what the enemy means for evil? God really is meaning it for your good. And he wants not to remove the situation, but to allow you to move through it, go through it, and give him glory and praise while you're going through it, not wait till you get on the other side. The all-powerful God can conquer your Red Sea and bring you over unto dry land. Do you ever feel like the Israelites? Do you ever face what looks like a stone wall? That's your Red Sea. And have enemies chasing you, and the devil whispers in your ear that you were better off before you were saved? Think about that. Has the enemy ever made you feel like you were in a hopeless situation? When you feel like all hope is gone, when you feel like you are all alone, do you feel like you're trapped up against a wall? I want to encourage you. When you feel like you need a safe haven, when fear tries to grip you, Take a deep breath and rest in the knowledge God has not forgotten you. Meditate on Psalms 46. Psalms 46 says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. Refuge. God is your refuge and strength. What does that word refuge mean? Refuge. A condition of being safe or sheltered from pursuit, danger, or trouble. God is our refuge and strength. He is a very present help in trouble. When there's a severe thunderstorm or tornado watch in your area, what does a meteorologist tell you to do? He or she tells you to seek shelter and a safe place. Quickly, seek shelter and a safe place. And then he or she says, stay tuned to further reports. When the storms of life are raging, God wants you to know he is your refuge. He is your strong tower. Go to God and be strengthened. Go to God and be encouraged. Let him be your refuge. And then listen for further instructions. Listen to his voice to guide you on the next step. For God is your refuge and your strength, a very present help in trouble. Psalms 119, 114, 116 verses says, thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. Uphold me according to thy word that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. Brothers, sisters, when you get discouraged, seek refuge. Go to your hiding place and let him shield you. Whatever you might be going through today, just know that it's already all right. You see, in the physical, it's going to be all right. And the spiritual is already done. Don't look to the left. Don't look to the right. It's already done. Don't allow doubt to penetrate your mind. It's already all right. Don't allow fear to overtake you. It's already all right. Don't say, woe is me. Has God forgotten you? No, he's not. Don't stay distracted with the cares of this world. It's already all right. Don't be moved, my sister, by what you see. It's already all right. Don't be moved by what people say about you. It's already all right. My brother, don't be discouraged by what the enemy whispers in your ear. Don't listen to him. It's already all right. You are a child of the King. You are royalty. You are a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Do not allow your past to define your future. It's already all right. Do not allow circumstances to rule you. It's already all right. When the enemy talks to you and tries to convince you that God has forgotten you, that God does not love you, that God never, ever cared anything about you, just remember this. The devil is a liar. The devil is the liar of all liars. The devil is already defeated. So no weapon formed against you is going to prosper. The word of God does not say it won't form. That weapon will not form. But it does say it will not prosper. You shall live and not die. You are the head and not the tail. You are a warrior, and a warrior with Christ always wins. You are a warrior, and a warrior with Christ always wins. Be encouraged and know that God has not, nor will he ever forget you. Be still and know that God is God. God is still the great I am. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He does not change, but he can change your circumstance. Talking about the same God that was with the Israelites as they faced the Red Sea, the same God who was with them as he carried them through on dry land to the other side, the same God that protected them with the cloud, the same God is with you today. He can do whatever he wants to do, whenever he wants to do, because he is the God of gods, the Lord of lords, the King of kings, the doctor of all doctors, the lawyer of all lawyers. He's the great commander in chief. I'm talking about the great I am. He loves you. He cares for you. He knows everything you're going through. And guess what? He's not forgotten you. He's with you. He's with you. All he has to do is speak. And it's already done. Mark 4, chapter 39, verse says, and he arose, talking about Jesus. He rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. The same God who rebuked the wind is the same God who is still with you today. The same God who said unto the sea, peace be still, and so it was, is the same God that I'm talking to you about tonight. He is the same God who is your refuge during any storm, regardless of how severe your storm may seem. He is the same God over any situation, regardless of what it may look like. Be encouraged and know that he's not forgotten you. The great I Am is still with you. In fact, he's carrying you even when you don't know it. He said he would never leave you. He would never forsake you. So take courage, take comfort in knowing that he still is the great I Am. Philippians 1:6 is a promise. He says, and be confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And if you believe this promise, then take this as proof that he's not forgotten you. For if he promised to complete the good work he began in you, how can he forget you? He is yet faithful. Are you yet holding on? From the beginning of time, God knew what he had purposed for each one of us. It doesn't matter whether we've gotten off the path he planned for us. His purpose for us remains the same. Even when we take detours, God, the great I Am, is still with us. God ordained a work for each of us to do here on earth. And if we are to fulfill his purpose, we've got to follow his plan. His plan is all written in the book of life. Be still and know that the great I Am is still God. And he's still the promise keeper. When it seems like all hope is gone, you hold fast to your hope. And remember, he's faithful to his promise. Hebrews 10th chapter and the 23rd verse. That's Hebrews 10:23. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful, that promise. We're talking about God. It's so important to hold fast without wavering. See, when you are in a state of wavering, going to and fro, you allow the door of unbelief to open. And when this door of unbelief, through this door of unbelief, you give the enemy a foothold to plant seeds of doubt in your mind. And when these seeds of doubt begin to sprout, they nourish other negative seeds, causing them to spring up. I'm telling you, you got to hold fast the profession of your faith without wavering. For James, the first chapter of James in the 6th verse says, for let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. But let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. I want you to think about that for a minute. You see, you said you're tired. And that you're tired of being tired, that you're tired of waiting. You said it's been too long, that if God was going to fulfill his promise in your life, he would have done it by now. And I ask you, who do you think you are? You place your timetable on God, and it doesn't happen when you expect it to happen. If it doesn't happen when you expect it to happen, if it doesn't happen like you expect it to happen, if it doesn't happen where you expect it to happen, you decide that it's not going to happen at all. And so you lose confidence, you lose hope, and you begin to waver. And you see, that's how the enemy tricks us. That's how the enemy tricks man to give up hope, to lose faith. Your breakthrough was just around the corner, then you fainted. Don't let this be your story. Your breakthrough was just around the corner, then you fainted. Don't let this be your story. Be encouraged. God is faithful. He has not forgotten you. Hold fast to a profession of your faith without wavering. Are you yet holding on? God has promised that he who has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ, and he is faithful. What about you? Are you anchored in the Lord? Are you anchored, stable, no drifting, holy, secure, fixed, unmovable? God changes not. When you are anchored in the Lord, you have a new and a fixed attitude. When you're anchored in the Lord, you'll set yourself. When you are anchored in the Lord, nothing outside of the word of God will be able to move you. Your heart will be fixed and your mind will be made up to say, I ain't going nowhere. I'm going to wait on God. I ain't going nowhere. I'm going to be still and trust in the Lord. I ain't going nowhere until God says so. In other words, you remain steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for you'll know that your labor is not in vain. I'm here to encourage you as I come to a close. Be still and know that the great I Am is still God. Hold fast. When you are yet holding fast to your profession of faith, your feet would have been firmly planted on a solid foundation. Be rooted and grounded in the word so that when trials and tribulations come, and yes, we know they all will come, you'll remain faithful. Be encouraged. You're loved so much by God. He has not forgotten you. Be encouraged. And when you are strengthened, you can go forth and strengthen your brother. Buckle down so when the winds and storms of life come, you'll be anchored. You'll be secure in His word alone, and you won't be subject to drifting. You'll be not carried away with every whim of doctrine. Be still and know that the great I Am, the same God that was with Moses when he talked to him through the burning bush, the same God that told Moses to take Aaron along with him, the same God that told him to go speak to Pharaoh to let his people go, the same God that sent those plagues and plagues on top of plagues to the Egyptians, the same God that brought his people out of Egypt, the same God that was with them as they marched through the wilderness, the same God that was with them when they faced the Red Sea, the same God that was with them as they walked through dry land unto the other side. It's the same God that's with you today because he's faithful. Because he's faithful. And don't forget, it's all right to encourage yourself. Psalms 42:11. Why art thou cast down on my soul? Speak to yourself. It's all right. Be still and know that the great God is still God. And he has not forgotten you, nor will he ever forget you. He loves you so much. He wants you to have the word in your heart so you don't sin against him. Because the word of God is a powerful weapon against any enemy. Don't doubt him. Trust him. Don't doubt him. Trust him. Be anchored in him. Dig in your heels that you ain't going anywhere. Faith. Don't be swayed. Trust him. Trust him. Trust him. Trust him. If you can trust God for your salvation, you see, you can trust him to sustain you through any situation. Now, if you have not trusted him as your salvation, for your salvation, you can do that right now. You can do that right now, you see, because God stands ready right now. He's not slack concerning his promises. He's not slack concerning his promises. In closing, if you're not completely giving your life over to Jesus Christ, if you're not giving your life over to Jesus Christ, you won't understand much of what I've shared tonight. You won't be able to stand against the storms of this life. Because you won't have that anchor. The first thing you must do is seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all other things will be added. And not only that, if you haven't accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, your eternal life will not be with him. So right now, if you have not accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, I need you to continue to listen very carefully, very carefully. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire," Revelation 20th chapter says. "This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire." Romans 10:9 says that thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So the first thing you need to do is admit that you are a sinner. For Romans 3:10 says, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one." Then the second thing you need to do is to be willing to repent from your sins. And the third thing from your heart, believe that Jesus Christ died for you. Believe that he was buried and he rose from the dead. For Romans 10:10 says, "With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation." And now through prayer, right now, wherever you are, you can invite Jesus to come into your life and you can begin a brand new life in him. For Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." So if you have not accepted Jesus as your Savior, repeat this prayer after me. Dear God, I am a sinner and I need forgiveness. I believe that Jesus Christ shed his precious blood and died for my sin. I am willing to turn from sin. I now invite Christ to come into my heart and life as my personal Savior. That's it. If you did that from your heart, sincerely from your heart, if you trusted Jesus as your personal Savior, you have begun a beautiful, wonderful new life in Him. In Him. Now you need to get a good, you need to get a Bible and read it every day to get to know Him better. Talk to God in prayer every day. Then find a local church. Become baptized and worship and fellowship with other brothers and sisters in a church where Christ is preached and where the Bible is the final authority. And then don't be selfish about your good news. Tell others about Jesus Christ. Tell others about Jesus Christ. Tell others about Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you. God has not forgotten you. God has not forgotten you. God has not forgotten you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God, for your word that's gone forth, and I know, Lord God, that it's fallen on fertile ground, Lord God. I thank you for souls that have just cried out to you, Lord God, and they're sealed right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Father, this word, Lord God, has gone out and it carried somebody to keep on keeping on. I thank you, Father, because you're God. You're merciful, and we love you, Lord God. We give you honor, glory, and praise right now in Jesus' name. Thank God. Amen. Amen. Now stay tuned. Stay tuned for some important announcements from our host from Real Christian Speak Talk Radio. Stay tuned. God bless you.
Praise the Lord, everybody. We want to remind you that Hits Abound in Grace broadcast with Minister Vanessa is every Tuesday at 7 p.m. We also have Talented Saints from Pastor Paul Morgan is every Wednesday at 7 p.m. Declare the Christmas Word for Reverend Pat Randall is Thursday at 12 noon. Friday Night Joy, Reverend Ray, is the first, the second, and the fourth Friday at 7 p.m. The Bread of Life for Reverend Ray is the first and the third Sundays at 7 p.m. The week of prayer is called Midday Glory Prayer with Reverend Gwen Dixon. That's every Wednesday at 1 p.m. This is a free conference call number. The number is 712-770-5505. That's just code 732-499-499. Our monthly broadcast as follows. Lifeline with Apostle Shirley Jones, first Monday of the month at 7 p.m. Adoration with Evangelist Lewis McAway is every third Monday at 7 p.m. Matters of the Heart is every third Friday at 7 p.m. with Pastor Ray Rose and Pastor Maggie Wilson. The Bold and Beautiful, amen, is every second Saturday at 10 a.m. Hour 3, Real Life, Real Men, Real Talk. This is the second Sunday at 7 p.m. Marriage Takeover with Pastor Eric and Tavika Thompson is every fourth Sunday at 7 p.m. Spiritual Nuggets of Truth is a new broadcast that we air the second and the fourth Mondays at 8 p.m. The minister is Minister Carmen A. Booker will be the host. Well, I thank you again for listening to Hits Abound in Grace and any other broadcasts that you've been listening to. Please enjoy the rest of your afternoon, the rest of your life. Amen. Be blessed and know that God loves you. We love you. Please check out our Facebook page and our Christmas Speak page at WinChristianSpeak.com. If you'd like to get in contact with us, you can do so by going to winchristianspeak@gmail.com. Thank you.